this world, my brothers, in this dunya, in this world, there are different ways and styles of living. The human being, insan, he has a passion, and that is called love. And it is a very strong passion and drive and love that Allah Ta'ala has inserted into the heart of a human being. And all of the worldly tasks are driven by this love within. But it is very seldom that a person loves something and he attains what he loves. Because love is very clear and present in our heart, and we love and like things. We even love that I should have a very beautiful house. But where does he get that? The human being has a love for having a big car. Where does he get that big car? Human being has a desire or love for many things, but does he attain those things? He doesn't attain those things. Despite, if we look at love, the basis of love, that if you love, then you should attain what you want or like. So there are many different types of love present in our heart, many desires and attractions and wants, but the result that we see in the world, it seems as if insan, he doesn't get what he loves or likes. So then, what is this love that Allah Ta'ala has inserted into our heart? There must be an objective or reason for it. Must be a reason behind it. Try to understand what I'm saying. The point, bring it into your minds, and I'll present it or request you, that we're not getting the result of our love, our desires, our wants. So why has Allah Ta'ala inserted love into our hearts? It's a question mark, isn't it? We live with the world and we run along with the world, but whatever I love, I don't get it. I don't get what I want. Maybe somebody by fluke will bump into something that he wants, because this is the age of flukes. Otherwise, the principle is this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it easy to understand what I'm saying? Shall I tell you again? That insan, human being in his heart, Allah Ta'ala has put a passion, a drive, which is called love. Love is in the heart of the human being. It's very strong and powerful love this is. But, so much love we have, Allah Ta'ala has inserted love into our heart. We love things and we like things and it's in our hearts. But what happens is that whatever we like and love, we don't attain that. We don't acquire that. So what's the benefit of the love? Yes, so then this love is not of any benefit, is it, brothers? Otherwise, all of us sitting here today, that we would have attained all the things we love and like, but we haven't. So why is this drive and passion and want in our hearts? Why is Allah inserted in our hearts? So brothers, listen clearly. In reality, it's in our hearts for this reason, the drive and passion of love, that in the world, all of the things that we love and like, and Allah Ta'ala has put those things in our heart, Allah Ta'ala hasn't promised us any of those or guaranteed to us any of those. Allah Ta'ala says that one love is such, one desire such, subhanAllah, say subhanAllah, one love is such, why have I put love into your hearts? There's love for one thing, which is such, that if somebody loves that thing, that one thing, say subhanAllah, subhanAllah, that there's one such love in the whole universe. That's why Allah Ta'ala said, I created love and I put love into your hearts. So if you love that thing, the shop leave it, the business leave it, loving this person leave it. If you insert that love into your, if you love that thing, Allah Ta'ala says, that one thing, that love that I've created and put aside, then the return for that love you'll get immediately, and you'll get immediate return that you cannot compare to any other return of love compared to that. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. And you don't love that thing, Allah Ta'ala says. You don't love it. You don't love what I've put aside for you. Allah says, my love, such a love I've created and kept aside for you. And that's why I created passion in your hearts. That if you utilize your passion and drive in the right way, say subhanAllah. I didn't give you love and drive that you used to love this person or that or X or Y or Z. You'll waste your time, your efforts. Allah says, the passion and drive of love I've inserted in your heart is for one reason. Utilize it for this one love. One thing that I've created for you, that love that I've kept ordained for you, and when you love that, then me, your Rabb, promises you, Allah says, that you will get the reward for that, the reward for that, the return for it, that nothing else can compare to that. Nothing else can compare to that. Allah Ta'ala, please tell us, what should we love then? What is that thing you want us to love, subhanAllah? Allah says, you love my mahbub, my beloved, then the return for that is that I will become pleased with you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah says, if you want Raza Ilahi, you want the pleasure of your Rabb, you want the nearness of your Lord, if you want esteem, Allah Akbar, and immediately you will get that. Immediately, Allah says. But we don't love Allah's beloved. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala said, this love, it's in your heart. I have created love for one purpose, for you to love my beloved, my mahbub. When you love him, then the doors of my love will open up for you. Allahu Akbar. And all of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum, ashabi rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their quality attribute was this. This was their quality. All of the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, the biggest quality attribute due to which Allah Ta'ala announced that I am happy with them, pleased with them. The Sahaba, they had one attribute, key. Why was Allah happy with them? Allah had his radha with them. Because they have loved my beloved, my mahbub. And they loved him without any comparison. Such a love till the Qiyamah. Their love will become an example for the Ummah. And the Ummah will imitate them and follow their example. Such a love, subhanAllah. Every companion, Sahabi. Every companion was a high grade lover of the Prophet Muhammad SAW that nothing can compare. Take any Sahabi's life. Any Sahabi's history, you'll see one attribute, one quality, love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immersed and drowned in the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whichever Sahabi you take, his life history, Sahabi or Sahabiya, male or female, companion, yes, they were drowned in the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a big message to the Ummah. Big message to them. This is everything. This is Islam, this is Iman, this is Quran, everything is this. Everything is, remember this, everything is within this. And if we don't have this, there's nothing. There's no Quran, there's no Iman, nothing. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى. There's no Iman. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أحب إليه. Compare. من ولدي ووالدي والناس أجمعين. Unless you love me more than your parents, your family, and everything in the universe. Everything is the Prophet's wisdom. That's when your heart, Allah Ta'ala said, I instilled a love, a flame. Did I keep that love and flame for a house? For businesses? That's why you don't get these things, because you utilize your love for the wrong purpose. But the thing that you should love, the person you should love, the being you should love, you don't love him. Allahu Akbar, Allah says. Every companion was immersed in the love of the Prophet. Nobody can compare, subhanAllah. Saddiq-e-Akbar. Saddiq, no Saddiq, Saddiq-e-Akbar. Akbar, the greatest Saddiq. Because look at his desire. What was his love, his style, his manner, every Sahabi. SubhanAllah. He said, I want my eyes, but I see your blessed face. SubhanAllah. I want it to be my money, and I spend it on you. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want my daughter, and I want her nikah with you. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. SubhanAllah. What great desire he had. As Umar radiallahu anhu said, may Allah be pleased with him. What a great lover he was. What a maqam he had of ishq and desire of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Love. He said, Hazrat, to Abu Bakr Siddiq, that let's do a transaction. Give me that night in the cave of Thawr in your life and take all of my lifelong deeds. You take them and give me that one night in the cave of Thawr. Imagine Hazrat Umar, the Prophet said that after me, if there was to be a Nabi, it would be Umar radiallahu anhu. That take all my deeds, he said, Umar radiallahu anhu, and give me that night of Thawr. What was that night of Thawr that Abu Bakr Siddiq experienced? The Ashik and the beloved and his beloved, they met in one place. Silence, darkness, isolation, and the blessed face of the beloved. The great blessed head of the Prophet, his forehead laying on the lap of Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What a ajeeb way he must have seen, unique way he would have looked at the Prophet sallallahu blessed face, and qurb, that their breath and the breaths, their both breaths were so close to each other. And what high great status Abu Bakr Siddiq, his life was that he wanted to be with the Prophet all the time. Imagine the sakin and contentment that time in the life, those moments of his life could not compare to those few seconds and moments in the cave of Thawr. Can anyone imagine? You cannot even think that company he had that day. He must have looked at, with which eyes he must have looked at the Prophet, how close he was to the Prophet. What glory he must have had, subhanAllah, that night and those moments and that time when he was in that company of the Prophet. And the ishq and the love he must have had at that time. Imagine. Ajeeb, ajeeb love, unique love of the Sahaba. Sahabi, look, one Sahabi was running, there was the expedition, there was a struggle going on, people looking for their relatives, has he passed away, she was running, people saying, what's happened, why are you looking for your husband, he's passed away, she didn't care, she kept on running, looking, she's looking around, and they said, your brother, he's also passed away, she's not worried, she doesn't care, no attention. The husband, brother, they couldn't understand why she was. They said, your son, he's also passed away. He's not present anymore. She had no worry. But she was looking for something else. No, her husband. She wasn't seeking her husband or son or brother. What was she looking? What was her vision looking for? Soon as the vision looked upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed face sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, I've attained everything. SubhanAllah. This is what I want you to see, that I can see him and that he's peaceful and he's okay. This is not about talking. You need to think yourself. Imagine the jazba, the love, the passion. And we today think about the Sahaba Ikram, the Sahaba Ikram, their maqamat, their levels, that subhanAllah, Allah was happy in the heavens and they were on the earth at that time. They were on the earth. They had no special select worship. Yes, the amount of Quran we read and recite, maybe some Sahabiya or Sahaba didn't read, that we read Quran by the juz and we have it intact, Sahih Bukhari, the Hadith kitabs, and we read these kitabs. But they had read one kitab, the kitab of the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every page was a unique page, every chapter and page and the ink on the paper showed the beautiful love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm telling the truth. This is the fact. So this is a unique status that the Sahaba had. This wasn't just for the Sahaba, it's for the whole Ummah that they gave a message. This was a message to the whole Ummah that you can only succeed via this platform. If you have Ishqi Rasul within you and love, then you will be successful in this world and thereafter. Otherwise you cannot succeed. Nobody will ask about you. Nobody will care about you. Look, how Allah Ta'ala has given us a markaz, center, focal point of iman and life for success in this world and thereafter. What is that? What is that focal point? Not connection with the Prophet ﷺ, love with the Prophet ﷺ, ishq-e rasool, intense passion for the Prophet ﷺ, blind love for the Prophet ﷺ. Not a minor thing, brothers, we're alive, death will come. So have we prepared for death? Proper preparation for death is this. Proper preparation for the qabr is this. One will be asked in the grave, that do you know this blessed face? Do you recognize this blessed personality? The third question that will come, isn't it? The third question, do you know this blessed personality? That will be the most important question. The third question will be most important. If you pass that, you'll pass the first two. If you fail the third, you'll fail the first two. Then they're gone as well. So how will we give the answer to the third question? How will we get the answer to the third question? That's what we need to prepare for. That how much love do we have? How much regard do we have? So Allah Ta'ala gave the examples of the noble companions that have arrived to us. These aren't stories. These aren't jackanory tales. These aren't folk tales. They are examples to us. A path. Are you this? Have you got this within your life? Is this present within you? Allah will ask these questions to us. They will be asked of us about our love. Have we ever weighed and analyzed the love in our hearts? Allahu Akbar. Lazim. Essential. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has announced in the Quran about this. Remember this. MashaAllah. Allah ta'ala said clearly that, oh my beloved, tell them with your own blessed statement, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ What is the greatest result for us? The pleasure of Allah. And Allah says, if you want my pleasure, to attain my pleasure, the ibadah, the worship that I've created, that path, the medium, the greatest action that I've made, that everything is according to that, all ibadat, faraid, compulsory, nafal, wajib, compulsory, all forms of ibadah and worship that I've delivered to you, Allah has not mentioned none of them that we have to do to get His pleasure. What does Allah Ta'ala mention? Subhanallah. What does Allah Ta'ala mention? Not love. No, there's a small point. Shall I tell you the small point? It's not the word of love. The reward that is being given, that is what Allah has meant. What is that? Yuhbibkumullah. I will make you my beloved, subhanallah. I will love you. Allah says, another way of thinking, Allahu Akbar. Imagine the reward. Yes, if you want Radha Ilahi, if you want Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, the highest reward, Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, due to having ishq, on which point? Subhanallah. Not on love. Not on love, because the word of love hasn't come here. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has said that if you love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given the return of love. Subhanallah. Allah says, I give a higher reward than that, higher reward than love. Yes, so Allah Ta'ala says that the word of love is not complete with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That I love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is not complete. Your love is not complete by saying you love him. That I've got ishq with Allah's Nabi says, this is not complete. The word Allah Ta'ala has used, that is the word that we need to understand. And that's when Allah Ta'ala's Nabi says, love is complete. What is that word? Allah Ta'ala said, فَاتَّبِعُونِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. No, it doesn't say that love him. Allah says, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. What must we do? So Allah says the completion of deen and the completion of love for the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is not just by saying I love him or I have affection for him. Rather, what is it complete with? Fattabi'uni completes the love and affection for the Prophet ﷺ. Fattabi'uni. Imitating him, following him, following his footsteps, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That completes the word of love and the action of love for the Prophet ﷺ. So this is confirmed now, that the love of Rasulullah ﷺ is sealed within ittiba, fattabi'uni. Love is conditional upon fattabi'uni. So a person who has ittiba, who imitates the Prophet ﷺ and does his itaat and obeys him and follows him, then he will include in that the love for the Prophet ﷺ. It will be included. But if a person loves the Prophet ﷺ but he doesn't follow him, then he doesn't have love either. The first thing. Remember this point. So ittaba includes the love for the Prophet ﷺ. If you do ittaba of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, then it includes the love. So you have the following, the imitation, and you have muhabbat for the Prophet ﷺ as well included in that. And this is amalan, physical. It is saying verbal, and it's physical, and it's action orientated. The Sahaba Akram radiallahu anhum wasn't just saying words, rather it was physically, verbally and physically. And when a person, when it will be sought that does he have love and does he have the imitation, they'll look physically for the proof. That's the reward Allah gives, that if you follow him and imitate him, then I will give you the reward of my love and not minor love. Allah says, you ask for the love of the world, give me this car, Allah, I'll give you this car. You ask for the house, I give you a house, I could have given you this, I could have given you that. But subhanAllah, when you have loved my mahbub, then I will return that love you have done for the Prophet ﷺ with my love, Allah Ta'ala says, I will love you. Subhanallah. So this is imitating Rasulullah and loving Rasulullah sunnah. Ittaba'i Rasul means what? To implement all love and implement all of the actions and lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad physically. Not just how I read it or I heard it or I know it. No. Amalan. Physically. And how to do it physically? Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, somebody asked him that, why do you do this? Why do you do this action? How did you do this action? The beautiful answer would come that, subhanallah, that I don't know why I do it, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do this action. I saw this, so that's why I'm doing this action. I also am doing this action. Allahu Akbar. I saw him do it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this, so that's why I'm doing it. I don't know why he did it. I don't need to analyze the biggest fitna, the biggest test of today. The trickery is when a person falls into the trap, when he starts thinking and analyzing, why should I do amal on this sunnah? How should I do it? Why should I do it? No. Sahaba Ikram, the love, that was a pure love. Fattabiuni. It wasn't just love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their love was based on fattabiuni. Why should I keep the beard? What's the benefit of the beard? What's the loss if I shave? What is in the imama? Etc. Does this and that? Why? No, immediately sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. That's it. We will do it. Immediately. That was a Sahaba Ikram. And that's the same way, subhanallah, all of the muhaddithin, all of the hadith, that's how they collated them and explained them. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, look at his lifestyle. In the same way he mentioned the hadith, all the hadith that he mentioned, I'm not saying this, great muhaddithin I'm speaking to you about, the scholars of hadith, all the hadith that have been recorded, stated in the same style and manner. They are physical proofs. There's not information, database, physical sharing. Prophet ﷺ did this. Rasulullah ﷺ stated this. He mentioned this. He did this action. It's been explained that you have to do these actions if you want success in the akhirah and in your grave. So all of the base and the foundation and fountain of deen is based on fattabi'uni, imitating, following the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Such a great, great motto, vision, fulcrum in front of us. The success of the world and thereafter is based on what? The imitation and following Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why the ummah is lost out today. Totally lost out. Ummah's destruction and loss, the effects you'll see at that time when Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah starts to leave this dunya. Depart from this dunya. So Rasulullah sunnah, have when they start to depart from this world, or they're very far, few and far between in this world, what will happen that time? Then all of the destruction and the signs of Qiyamah will start to come and be visible. Today my heart, I don't know why, it's so heavy today my heart. So heavy, I'm not conscious today. Allah may not allow that what my eyes saw, may Allah ta'ala not allow. Until now, my consciousness has not been regained. And I'm so heavy-hearted. Can you imagine? May Allah ta'ala not allow. Somebody showed me that today, in Haram Sharif, what's there? What is the condition in Haram? Baytullah, what's happening around there? Allahu Akbar. Mataf. Where I say that there wasn't even a square inch to sit down available. I'm speaking about mataf. And there's not one human being there. It's empty. Empty mataf. Where people go around doing tawaf. Haram, there's nobody visible, seen doing tawaf. What a great azab. May Allah ta'ala not give the azab the way I think I've felt and I've seen it. There's a big warning from Allah. Big warning. Why? Why? Allah ta'ala said that everyone's scared of this disease. Afraid. It seems as if this, my friends, may Allah not allow, may that this not become adab, may this not become a real adab, that nobody can be saved. Such a big disaster could become that every person could be going towards loss. Economies collapsed, lifestyles collapsed, business evaporate. And the situation, when my sight fell on this scene, it looked at this clearly, may Allah ta'ala not allow what I've seen. That in the same way mataf happening, azab is occurring. But at that time it was empty. I don't know what time we are passing that. He showed me just today, I saw this scene. Ajeeb hal, ajeeb, weird situation. I couldn't think that no one's in mataf. Mataf is Rajab, the month of Rajab, Shaban, then Ramadan. What a big, big warning coming from Allah. If it's not azab, punishment, then tell me what is it? Where's that all gone? Lillahi mulku samawati wal ardh, says everything is in my control. The masjids, the Quran, imams, everything is in Allah's control. Reason? Just one reason. Not this, that millions would come without. Allah Ta'ala has put one measurement gauge. They tell me, how many people are there who are present, who are doing amal, practicing my Habib's sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah? Think about those who reject or those who don't believe in Allah. That Allah says, I'm asking you, oh you people, in your hands are Quran, in your hearts there are Quran, in your homes there are Quran. Those people, answer me that message. Why have you not understood that everything in the world, the universe, your hashr, your resurrection, akhirah, everything that I've made, it hinges on the success hinges on one thing. Fattabi'uni, imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fattabi'uni, Allah says, everything, all success hinges on what? Not love for Rasulullah sallam. Fattabi'uni, to imitate and to follow him. And love is included in that. Allah says, I don't have a need for such a world. I don't need for have a need for such hajis. I don't have a need for people doing umrahs. Where are those people who look at the lives of the sahaba, who imitate them? Where are those lovers who used to love properly? Where are those people who love the right way? That today, you see the glory that arises by following the sunnah. Can anyone imagine? Those sahaba were told that the people will be so ashamed, the day will come, the people will be ashamed so much to follow the sunnah that they won't be ashamed of from dirty impure things, from immodest actions, the amount they'll be ashamed of following me. Subhanallah. For that reason, for he who the universe was made, we are ashamed of following him. So does that person deserve to stay in the dunya? To an extent. That's it. Rasulullah's style was such that when a very strong gust of wind would come, then he would fear, he would be afraid. Ya Rasulullah, our Prophet, why are you afraid? He said that the previous nations, the signs were there, that such winds and storms came, they were azab, the winds became azam, and they were wiped away. So brothers, what's happened to us? That mataf is empty. Not one human being is doing tawaf. Allahu Akbar, imagine. What is this the sign of? What is this showing us? What is this indicating to us? That your link with my Nabi has broken. Not to me, Allah says, your link with me hasn't broken, Allah is saying, but your link with my Nabi has broken. That Nabi that you should have a link and attachment with, then how can I keep your connection with the Kaaba, Allah says. This is the message that I can see. This is the message I can see. And so inherent within, we are so weak today, so weak that to understand this, we're not even prepared to understand this point. We're not even prepared. Our hearts are not prepared to accept this fact. You can make us do thousands of umrahs, thousands of Qurans in our hearts. But today the ummah is in such a bad state, it's not even prepared to accept this fact. That fattabi'uni, is there any importance for it in our lives? Fattabi'uni? Tell me. Brothers, I'm in front of you. I'm sharing with you the feelings of my heart. You tell me. Allah saying that, look, what is the connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Brothers, Allah Ta'ala slowly, He gives warnings. But when He grabs, when He goes, may Allah Ta'ala not make this disease become azab, such a big azab it'll become, that Allah Ta'ala, He can wipe things away. Allah will make everything invisible. Look. That so much noise and clamor is reverberating around the world. In this country, look at the conditions that will close schools and close centers and institutions. And I go to the meat shop and say, quickly buy me. I said, what's wrong? He said, meat will stop, the supply will stop, things will stop, eggs will stop, chickens will stop. Such an ajeeb fear. And people are scared and people are mass buying supplies. And if this becomes reality, then tell me how much stock will you be able to buy and hoard? This is not the cure. Oh, mu'mins, the cure for this is one. That grab hold of the Prophet ﷺ with firmness. Strong. Nafaq, hypocrisy, bring it out of the hearts. This is the biggest haram sin that we're implementing, is to reject the Prophet ﷺ sunnah. We stand and live. Our job was to spread the sunnah. Our function was to spread the sunnah. And today what's the status quo? Is that niqab that they used to laugh at, women's niqabs. Today a woman told me, I was surprised, I was shocked. She said, I went shopping and there was a woman there. She said, you're so happy. She said, that you've covered your face, that you are lucky, you people are lucky. The woman said to her, she said, I feel that I also wear this covering of the face. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine. What a great reality. Fattabi'uni. There's so much hikmah in Fattabi'uni, I tell you. Quran is a commentary. It's a commentary, Quran is a commentary explanation of Fattabi'uni. Follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, I swear by Allah, the principles of deen, the pillars of deen, the lovers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I speak about their tongues, their statements, the whole Quran, every verse is tafsir. And understand this point, you'll understand the whole Quran, Fattabi'uni. That's it. The whole Quran you'll understand. If you understand this one word and bring it into your life, Fattabi'uni, Fattabi'uni. What is Fattabi'uni? Imitate the Prophet. You don't need no other tafsir. You don't need tafsir, Mazari tafsir, Shabiri, Aswabala. One word bring into your life, Fattabi'uni. Fattabi'uni. If you want to live your life, who do you live your life according to? Who? What? Sunnah of Rasulullah. Books can come into your homes. Every item, book and words and pages, Rasulullah sunnah. Every single sunnah, as I said to you, his style, mannerism, the mannerism lifestyle of the Sahaba Akram, the noble companions, Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah came on the minbar, on the blessed minbar. Pulpit, who is narrating this, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Look at the style. Rasulullah's ummah. Not this. This is deen came for him, that only they would go into the Sahaba. How can this be? They came as examples, the Sahaba Ikram, that generation. That our life until Qiyamah, whoever Muslims come, ummatis, their life should be like this, just like Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala lived his life. Should be like that. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. It's a dust. It's soil. It is dust. He can never answer the question in the grave. Tell us, who is your Rasul? In the grave, he'll be asked. He won't be able to answer. I sit on this prayer mat and I say, with yaqeen and belief in my iman, with that yaqeen, I say that I have attained from the Quran, from the company of the pious predecessors, from their words, from their ilm, from their knowledge, from their company. That individual will never be able to answer in the grave. In his life, if he did not have fatabiyuni and love for Rasulullah, he will never be able to answer the grave. The question doesn't arise. They are munafiqs in that time. He will be munafiq. What will he present? Quran? As an answer in the grave, subhanAllah. You read the Quran? Oh wow, mashallah, very great Quran you've read. Which Quran did you read, Ummati, in which you did not recognize the glory of my Mahbub, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You couldn't see his lifestyle. And what salah? What salah are you bringing to me, Allah says? What salah have you prayed? With which face and appearance did you pray salah? What? Do you think your parda will benefit you there? This was your challenge. This was your test. Allah said, I could remove the veils between you and me. No, I gave you the example of 124,000 companions. And every companion, his example was given to you. His ishq, his love explained to you and mentioned to you how they live their life. And this is how you need to live your life and pass your life. Whatever part and corner of the globe you live in and go to, that's how you have to live your life. I swear by Allah that look in our hearts. Let's delve into hearts. I'm telling to you, I'm speaking to you according to this day and age, this disease has come. This wazifa, recitation, dua, supplication. What's happening now? Everyone's running around, helter-skelter. But this is the biggest deception. No, look at the glory. Some gust would come, a wind, a storm. Rasulullah said, I fear that may this become azab, this may become azab. And today we have it in front of us. Azab, where have all the hajis gone? Show me where the hajis, where are their tickets, flights, visas? Where are their hotels? Where's the five-star hotel? Where are they? There's mosquitoes, there's flies. Can you see any man there? Tell me, can you see any man? Where's the mataf? Where's the mataf? Where? Show me, where are those people doing tawaf around Allah's home? Shopping, umrah, etc. Where are they? No, you can see that there's a very clearly visible big azab Allah Ta'ala has set down. Big. So if Allah Ta'ala has shown us here right now, then what will be our hal condition after death? Do we still not understand? Do we still not understand? That, for example, at a wedding time will be something, in the masjid something else, zikr something, alibasi will be something, in an event something else, go to the wedding, all those same people who have imams and beards, they're women, men, they'll be visible dancing, music in the wedding. What sort of people are you? What are we? What is this? Oh, our jamaat of people sat here. People. One thing you grab, you leave the other thing, take another action, leave this, compromises, can't understand what's going on, like yo-yos. Someone says, this is deen, someone says, this is deen, someone says, imamah's deen, beard's deen, this is deen. And the wedding hall, do what you want, rejoice. Daughter's wedding, do what you want, son's wedding, images, music, video, mixed gatherings is jais, and zikr is jais, and imamah's jais, and beard's jais, and everything is jais, and burkhas are jais. Subhanallah, deen, who are we deceiving, my brothers? Who are we deceiving? Think for a second. Who are we deceiving? So one word in the Quran, one word, so many tafsirs you can read. The person who understands verbally, physically, iman is verbal and physical. Physical, so who do we have iman in? In this masjid? In this minbar? On the pulpit? The beauty of the masjid? The decoration? Shall I believe in this? Or the Kaaba, the beauty of the Kaaba? Kaaba is nothing. It's just, it's a structure of stone, and there's a cloth around it, ghalaf, there's nothing else. What is the real khana, the real house? What is the real place, the Kaaba? That is what we need to see, search. and see. Yes, that the symbol, the house of Allah, Baytullah, we don't prostrate to that, we prostrate to Allah. In reality, we're prostrating to Allah. And Allah has told us the way to His love and to His nearness. That is what we need to attain. So my brothers, this is a big point. Big point. May not be in homes, azab comes, punishment comes. Hypocrisy, let's take out. Let's take out banditry from the life, trickery, and the status we made our images and reputations in the world, big titles, drop them. Look at one thing, that in our homes, how much do we imitate the Prophet? In my life, how much do I imitate? How much do I follow the Sunnah? What actions of the Sunnah am I opposing? What am I doing? And nothing else. Don't look at any other gauge. Everything is tafsir, commentary, explanation of one thing. Fattabi'uni, the whole Quran is the explanation. Fattabi'uni. There's no kitab over these or fiqh, or jurisprudence. Or tasawwuf, no class of tasawwuf or fiqh or hadith. He is Qadri, I'm a Chishti zikr I do. I'm a Qadri Silsilud, I'm a Naqshbandi Ud, I'm Surwardi, and I'm Hanafi or Shafi or Maliki or Hanbali. Everybody is the same. Look at all the learnings and teaching. There's one pivot, foundation. Naqshbandi teacher will take you where? To the imitation of the Prophet. Imam Shafi, where will he take you? To where? Via his fiqh, his jurisprudence, to where? Ittibaq, imitation of the Prophet. Imam Bukhari will start hadith, first page, first book of hadith, first section, ikhlas, and the final hadith, it seals on what? All the hadith that I've presented and shared, you have to practice them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And he said, how to do wudu, how to do miswak, how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do the, what attire, what clothes, Jummah attire, how did he wear, how did he walk, how did he do this? Subhanallah. And this hadith, another hadith, I don't want to forget, it's come to mind, these were the styles and the mannerism of the Sahaba. And is this mannerism lifestyle all our life? If not, then how will we answer in the grave? Leave the drama. Leave the drama. No Naqshbandi, no Surdi will benefit you. No Maliki will humble you. No Shafi will benefit you. No Hanbali will benefit you. Only one thing will benefit us. That all of these schools and titles, everything, the path, the wits, they all went to one center point. And that center point was imitation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, take hold of anyone. Take Imam Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Hanafi, whatever you. But you have to follow that path to get to the center point, foundation, fountain, where all the rivers come out into the ocean. All the rivers flow into one ocean, the imitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? Totally. That I'm very simple. Everyone's against me probably after speaking today. But today my passion is boiling over. And I'm keeping it simple. Keeping it simple. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he stated that Rasulullah sallam came, he sat on the minbar, and he stated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his silver ring off his hand. The respected scholars ahead, they know better than me. He asked them. He took his silver ring off his hand and he said, that I used to wear a gold ring. He's telling his companions, I used to wear the gold ring, but after today, this ring, I will not wear the gold ring. And he threw it aside. Abdullah bin Umar said, all the companions were present. Everyone, not just why should you do this? Immediately, suddenly, they took their rings off. They took their rings off, subhanAllah. And all of them took them and threw them to the ground. That's the end of the story. End of the story. This was the style of the Sahaba, the reaction time. Reaction time. We have a sunnah. We don't even know about the sunnah. What should we do? What should we do? What should I eat? Eat. Children eat. Sit and eat. Stand and eat. Go here, there. We don't know nothing in our families, animals and animal lifestyles. Remember, what's the difference between animals and men? Man is only man who imitates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the difference between man and animals. Everyone is animals. That's it. Both have the same status in Allah Ta'ala's eyes. Summun bukmun umyun, Allah says. Blind, deaf. Sealed, they're all animals. Whoever doesn't hear the Prophet, doesn't accept what he said, doesn't embrace him, he is living the life of an animal and he will be included there. They're donkeys, Allah says. They're donkeys, leave them. The Quran says this. The Quran says this. This is the life, we are living like animals. What does an animal do? Eats, drinks, passion, fulfills, and that's it, nothing else. That's what we do. Eat, drink, passions and desires, and give birth to offspring. Four weddings, two weddings, three weddings. Look at this generation, our lifestyle. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself. Eat, drink, die. Children, wedding, enjoy it. Eat, drink, that's it. Die. animals beyond animals. Summum, bukmun, umyun, fahum la yarjun. Allah says, they look at their eyes, their ears, they're sealed, they're blind, they don't understand my Quran. Rasulullah's glory status, if he doesn't understand, then what will he understand from la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Tell me. Will he understand? What will he understand? What should have occurred, as I gave the example, subhanAllah, of the Sahaba, the hadith is revealed, Imam Bukhari, alhamdulillah, is presenting, Imam Malik is presenting it, it's coming in front of us, Muslim Sharif, Imam Bukhari, Bukhari Sharif, Imam Malik, Ahmad, and all the hadith, we should listen to them, read them, physically, verbally bring them to life. So loss, or this loss, that loss, that's a test of life. Let it be lost, but that's not a loss. The loss, a person who stands for Allah, who follows the path of Allah, he's getting pain in the world, difficulty, that's not a loss. His rank is being elevated. His rank is being elevated. His status is being increased. So my brothers, do dua to Allah, pray to Allah, that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't send azab on us, problems on us, difficulty on us. Our halat and conditions that have become today, the deen we have adopted today, that deen we have adopted today is without the sunnah. So today, people, they're ashamed of speaking about the sunnah. They're afraid that if I say in the gathering, keep the beard, people will become upset with me. They will stop coming and listening to me, and my musallis will decrease. I tell you the truth. I've heard this from my ears, I'm sharing with you. The Hazrat, if I speak like this, if I tell them about libas or dress code, then our followers will stop coming and the charity will stop and the masjid will shut down. I've heard this with my own ears. How sad. How sad about such places of worship that where they don't speak about Rasulullah. What kind of gathering can that be? What kind of speech is that? Or words are that? In this day and age, the initiation of our life, the start of the speech and the end of the speech should be based on the sunnah. There's nothing else to talk about. Who doesn't know how to pray? Who doesn't know about haram? Who doesn't know about riba? Who doesn't know about immodesty or not having barda? Forget all of these things. Look towards the source of the destruction. Allah's azab is about to come. And that's one reason, because we have left it there by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Allah Ta'ala says that within, look at our lives internally, externally, there's no sunnah. Look, this should be the topic. That if we don't stand against the tide, then deen will not be corrected. We'll have to give up and assign things, give up our time. There'll be opposition to that. Practice, we'll have to have mockery or people joking. You'll have to go through poverty or hunger. You'll have to do this. It's a test. When the generation is moving and changing, and then you have to stand and make a stand. You have to be firm on the principles. Yes, you have to exemplify the deen. And if we start to buckle under pressure in gatherings, we want people to say, wow, and praise us, and charity comes, and money comes, and I'll be happy with them, and do drama with them, false speeches, Allah Ta'ala very quickly will shut down and seal all those gatherings. And Allah says they'll become like bazaars, and just all the wrong things will take place. SubhanAllah. Atiullah wa atiur rasul faqad faza fawzan azima. O people of Iman, obey Allah and obey His Nabi and listen to Him, and this for you is the greatest success. Faza fawzan azima. Azima. That's the point. That's it, brothers. In our hearts, we need to initiate the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sunnah. Doesn't matter how much opposition there is in our lives, we should bring the sharia and the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Grab hold of it. Not to show people. Just be in love with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whatever sunnah he showed us and taught us, we need to implement it. And on top of that, if you do ibadah and worship, then I'll say Allah Ta'ala knows best. But if you're doing ibadah without the sunnah, Allah knows what that ibadah is. That's beyond my understanding and comprehension. Those salah, fasting, Quran and Hajj and Ramadan, it's beyond my understanding and comprehension. I can understand what that action is, what that worship is without the sunnah. Whatever there is should be wrapped in the sunnah of Rasulullah. Fattabiuni, that is deen. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين طه وياسين نبي المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمين وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا أيها يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته. يا كريم يا كريم يا كريم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا والآخرة. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا. اللهم اوفنا في بدني. اللهم اوفنا في سمي. اللهم اوفنا في بصري. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا. يا شافي الامراض اشف امرادنا. يا شافي الامراض اشف امرادنا. يا شافي الامراض اشف امرادنا. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.